Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Proverbs 13, just reading one verse, verse 12. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." The contemporary English version says it this way: "Not getting what you want can make you feel sick, but a wish that comes true is a life-giving tree." We're going to look at today about overcoming disappointments, because in life there's all kinds of disappointments. If you've lived any amount of time at all, done anything at all, you know that life can be full of disappointments at times. There's times when we try to get ahead sometimes in life, and it seems like everything just goes backwards. And you build yourself up for something, and life just disappoints you again. So we're going to look at a few things here this morning. But before we do, let's bow together and ask God's direction. Father in heaven, we're so thankful to come into your presence. Thank you for your many blessings upon us. And Father, today as we look into the Word of God, once again we ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. And Father, help us to see things today in the message, Lord, that you can help us, Lord, to put to practice in our lives. And Father, we're glad to be here today. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your presence. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word disappointment means a feeling of dissatisfaction when one's hopes, desires, and expectations fail to come to pass. It's a feeling of dissatisfaction when your hopes, your desires, or your expectations fail to come to pass. And we've all been through that, and got to times when things that we expected to work out a certain way didn't work out the way we thought it would, and it brings disappointments. We all have unfair things happen to us, but we have a choice. When we're going through these things, we can either hold on to it and let it destroy us, or we can let it go and move on with life. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning: disappointments. And I put down four different areas. Now, it could be a dozen different areas if I really, really thought about it, but I had pity on you today. I didn't want to go too long. So we just took a look at four different times, four different areas in life, or four different areas that we could be disappointed. Number one, we can be disappointed in life itself. And as the definition said, it's a feeling of dissatisfaction. And this usually hits people when they get up in their, probably in their 40s, you know, 35, 40, 45, 50, normally called midlife crisis. And you look at it and you say, man, half my life is over and I never accomplished much. What's going to happen in the next half? You know, and you get that time period in the between there that it seems like everything is falling to pieces, nothing makes sense anymore, and it hits some people more than others. Some people just go on through life and never ever have a problem with it, but other people do run into a roadblock when it comes to their midlife situation. And so sometimes we expected our life to be different by the time we reach a certain age. Maybe, you know, you say, well, you know, by the time I get 40, I can remember when we were growing up, Pat's brother used to always say to me, he used to look at fellows that, you know, were married and had their families and raised and their houses bought and everything else. He said, "I can't wait," he said, "to get in my 40s. That's what he used to say when we were teenagers. "I can't wait to get in my 40s. And I said, "Why?" And this is what he was saying. Well, he said, "You know, when you get up in your 40s, he said, you got everything all paid for, you own everything." He said, "And life is easy after that." You know, whether that's true or not, I don't know. It never worked for a lot of us. Not the easy part of it, and not getting everything paid off and all these different things. But sometimes disappointments come because, and we can be disappointed, as I said, in many things. We can be disappointed in you know, the church. You know, back in the Bible tells us in Haggai's time that they're building or rebuilding the temple. Now, they were gone into captivity for 70 years, just about 70, about 66 years by the time they started going back, but it was 70 years by the time the captivity was over. But about 66 years into it, they were coming out of Babylonian captivity, you know, just trickling out. It was another 4 years before the full, return came. But before he went into, if you go back up 50 or 66 years or 70 years back up, you find out that they had a big, beautiful temple. Solomon's temple was the pride and joy of Israel. It was the pride and joy of all that realm. You know, it was humongous. It was plated in gold and different things. And it was just a place where people come to worship the Lord. But the Bible says the Babylonians came in under Nebuchadnezzar and they destroyed the city, destroyed the temple. And now, after all these years, they got permission to go back again, trickling back into Israel. And they start to go back and rebuild the temple. And the command was given 16 years before to build it, but they got in there and they, you know what it's like sometimes, you know, when things are going on, they got in there and life just took over and they never got around to doing God's work. And they start building their own homes and everything else. And finally, Haggai came on the scene and said, listen, he said, this message was given to us. He said, way back, he said, to get this built. And you keep saying, we don't have time to build God's house. We don't have time for this. And it's like a lot of people today, we got time for everything else. We don't have time for Sunday. We don't have time to worship the Lord. I'll leave that with you and let the Lord work at you on that one. But, you know, there's times when we put everything else before God. And then they were building this little, compared to what Solomon had, you know, 60, 70 years before, they were building this little temple area. And Haggai stood up and he said, how many can remember, he said, the first temple? And I mean, there are probably a few people there. I mean, they'd be up probably in their late 80s and 90s by now, probably. But he said, how many can remember what it was like in the former house? And I heard a fellow preach on this years ago, and he said, it was like building a cabin or building a shanty, he said, next door to the Taj Mahal. You know, it was no comparison between the two. But he said, God was saying, the glory of this house is going to be greater than the one of the former house. But to them, they were disappointed because, man, this is a shame. This is an embarrassment. You know, when you consider what we had before, and now we're going to build this, this is an embarrassment. We can't even, you know, look each other in the eye and call this a temple compared to what they had before. So they were disappointed. They were disappointed in life, disappointed in religion. And sometimes, you know, what brings on disappointment sometimes is because our memories are, how can I say this, too clear. Or we have too good of memories when it comes to bad things, and we got very poor memories when it comes to good things. You understand what I mean by that? You know, if you got hurt in the past or whatever the case might be, or something happened that you didn't agree with, or, you know, it's easy to remember these things. But the good things that happened in the past, sometimes it's hard for us to understand that and hard to recall that. And you know, sometimes we say, well, if I could only go back there again. You know? And this is what these people were saying when they're building this shanty next door to the Taj Mahal. They were saying, if we could only go back to the former days. And God says, no, listen. And this is something we need to learn. God is saying, you keep your eye on the future. And God said, I'll bring more glory to this house than was ever in the last one. You see, what we've done so many times, we get disappointed in life. We keep looking backward all the time. I told you one time before, I heard somebody say, I don't know who it was, that your windshield is a lot bigger than your rear view mirror, meaning that you got a whole lot more in front of you than you got behind you. You understand that? We need to keep looking forward. And as long as we keep looking forward, somebody said, God only tells his people to go in one direction. All through Scripture, he only tells them one direction. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. Sometimes you may have to backtrack around, but God's purpose is to get you forward. Keep going forward. And if you keep yourself going forward, there's a purpose and a plan and a destiny that God's got for every last one of us. And if we keep our eyes focused upon Jesus, I keep telling you this verse over and over and over. The Bible tells us that Moses, I mean, he went through all kinds of struggles. People wanted to kill him. The people were murmuring, complaining with him all the time. But the Bible says Moses endured by keeping his eyes upon him who was invisible. Moses was looking forward and believing that God was looking after everything and God was going to bring him through this. And Moses kept his focus upon God, upon Jesus, we could say, in that sense. He kept his eyes upon him who is invisible. And as I said, sometimes we remember the past, and sometimes we remember the past as being better than it really was. You ever been there? We remember the past as being better than it ever was. And if you do that, the future and the present is going to seem worse than it ever is. You get that? If you remember the past as better than it was, your present and your future, you're going to see that as worse than it really is. So let's get our eyes focused in the right place. Let's start to understand that sometimes in life there's going to be disappointments. Disappointments, as you know, drains the energy out of us. And God wants us to keep moving forward. And we can't afford to let disappointments in life hold us back. And maybe somebody betrayed you. Maybe somebody, there was some injustice done. Maybe there's some harsh thing that was done in your past. And we can't allow the disappointments of life to keep us back there. Because if you're back there, you'll never move ahead to what God's got for you in the future. So let's learn to put that in the past. The Bible tells us, even if my father and mother abandon me, he said, the Lord will take care of me. So don't get discouraged and depressed and disappointed and all these different things because of things that have happened in the past. You know, the devil would love to keep us back there. Because if he can keep us living in the past, we can never accomplish anything in the future. And some of the hardships that we've gone through in the past, I was reading somebody the other day, I never ever heard the sign, but Leonard Cohen, I don't know many of you know him. And one of the songs he mentions, he said, everything has a crack in it. Talking about your life sometimes is not perfect. Everything has a crack in it. One of his songs, he's a Jewish man, he writes songs, sings and different things, but not a believer. But what he said made a lot of sense. He said, everything has a crack in it. He said, but cracks are where the light shine in. So when you're going through struggles and you're going through disappointments, realize that God can use that to help us grow. I was reading something the other day, a little article about a caterpillar, you know, in a cocoon. And he said, if you come up to a cocoon and you see a caterpillar, a butterfly, I guess by this time, trying to get out, wiggling and squirming and shaking and everything else and trying to get out, he said, the worst thing you can do is help him out. Because if you help him out, even though he's a butterfly, he's going to fall down and die. Because that struggle that he's going through is the thing that gives him strength in his wings so that he can fly. And if he doesn't have that struggle up front, he'll never learn to fly. And a lot of times our lives are like that. If we don't have that struggle through life, even though none of us like going through them, likes going through the struggles, but if we don't go through the struggles, we'll never learn the strength that we need to live and to fly in life. You understand that? So sometimes life is going to disappoint us, discourage us, and frustrate us. But when we're going through these things, we got to keep our eyes upon the Lord and not allow ourselves to get discouraged. Because if the devil can keep us discouraged, we talked about discouragement last week. If he can keep us discouraged, he will destroy our lives. He will ruin us. We got to, you know, and sometimes we've allowed ourselves, you know, sometimes you see people going along and it seems like on the outward appearance, everything's going fine. And then all of a sudden you hear that, you know, something just snapped in them. They just lost it. You know, and a lot of that happens, I'm not saying every single time, but a lot of that happens is because over years we've had little injustices done, we've had little disappointments here, little disappointments there, and we've never, ever, ever learned to get over them. And we held on to them and held on to them and held on to them. And sometimes we say, you know, that was a straw that broke the camel's back. Just the last little thing. It could be something small, but all of a sudden everything goes ballistic because we've never dealt with the disappointments growing up through life. So we need to learn to deal with disappointments, get them out of the way, and keep moving on. Because life, Jesus said, as long as you're on this planet, offenses will come. Offenses, he said, must come. So as long as we're living in this world, we're going to have struggles, we're going to have problems, we're going to be troubles, but let's keep our eyes upon Jesus. Just because you got saved didn't mean to say that God took you off and put you off on an isolated island somewhere where there's no more problems. You'll still go through problems. And it's up to ourselves when we go through those problems if we want to take the easy way and keep our eyes upon Jesus and help him, let him help us to bring us through that, or if we want to hit it ourselves. And if we hit it ourselves, I guarantee you, you're going to be devastated. So let's realize that disappointments come, but there is a way out, and that's through Jesus. So there's disappointments with life. And then there's also disappointments with others. I mean, first we're talking about general disappointments all through life. But sometimes there are people that really disappoint us. I remember when I was going to school, probably in grade 5, I guess. We had a teacher, and I really liked him. You know, he's a good teacher. He's an elderly gentleman. He probably passed on by now. I don't know. If he's not, he's certainly well up there. But I remember in science class, and in those days, one teacher taught everything. You know, and I remember he brought a microscope to school. And I don't know what it was, but something we were looking at on a slide anyway. And there was no light in the telescope or in the microscope like you see today. So he went over, the sun was shining in, and he went over in front of the window and put it on the windowsill. And he had each one of us come up one at a time to look in there, and he would show, you know, tell us what was in there and what we're looking at and different things. And so anyway, people are going up, and you know, they're going down the aisles and things like this, and finally came to me. But I remember the fellows in front of me, he said, "I never saw anything. Didn't see a thing." You know. And they said, somebody else said, "No, I never either." But they all said, "Yes, I saw something." You know. And so anyhow, it came to my turn, and he called me over, and I looked at it. It was all blurred to me. I guess it probably just needed to be adjustment. I didn't know at the time. And so he said, "You see it?" I said, "Yeah, yeah," you know. And so I went back to my seat, and I thought, I never saw anything either, you know. And so we went back, and the next day or a couple of days after, we were doing something else, and they had a test on something. And one of the girls put up her hand. She said, "Sir," she said, I never saw anything on that microscope." And then somebody else put up, "I never saw anything on that microscope." And finally he said, "How many?" He said, "Never saw it." And I think probably everybody in the class put up their hand. And he picked me out. Now, maybe I was a good boy. I don't know. He says, "Stephen," he said, "I'm disappointed in you." And man, that cut me. He said, "You told me you saw something." Now, I was just doing what everybody else did because, you know. But when he said, "He said, you disappointed me." And I thought the world over him. That really cut me inside. And I thought, man, I'll never do that again. You know. There's times when we disappoint people. Now, that was only probably a minor thing, but it's something that I can remember from my childhood. But there's times when other people will disappoint us. And something will happen in life. You'll put your trust in someone. You believe that, you know, you're helping them out or whatever the case might be, or someone you love or whatever the case might be. And when the rubber comes down to meet the road, all of a sudden they turn their back on you. And you're devastated. You get disappointed. It's easy to get disappointed in others at times. It could have been a teacher. Could have been your parents. You know, a lot of people go around disappointing their parents. There's a lot of parents going around disappointing their children. Could have been a friend, could have been a peer in school, could have been a coach in gym class or something. Somebody that disappointed you. So one thing I've learned over the years, and we've all had disappointments, but one thing I've learned over the years anyway, you got to forget it, forgive it, and forget it. Because a lot of times people don't mean to disappoint you. It just happens. But somewhere along the line, you've got to make up your mind and say, "Listen, I'm going to be bigger than this." Ann Landers, in the newspaper column, most of you know who I'm talking about, she said, "Life is going to be filled full of disappointments." She said, "But you've got to look disappointment in the eye." I remember reading this years ago. "You've got to look disappointment in the eye and say, I'm bigger than you, and you're not going to defeat me." And this is what we need to do when disappointments come, and things that we don't know how to deal with sometimes, we just got to say, "God, with your help, I'm going to come through this. And I'm going to forgive the person that disappointed me, those that hurt me, or whatever the case might be. I'm going to forgive them." And let me say something. I've told you this before. When you forgive someone, it's not necessarily for their benefit. It's more for your own benefit. Because when you forgive someone, you can let go of it and move on. You understand that? As long as you hold resentment inside, as long as you hold disappointments and bitterness inside of you, it's going to destroy you. And it's time to set yourself free from that prison and realize that, listen, whether is right or wrong what they did, whether they had a good reason or a bad reason, or I got a good reason to be mad, or whatever the case might be. Somewhere along the line, I've got to make up my mind. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to close the door on it. I'm going to move on. Now, it doesn't mean say you've got to go back and get in a buddy-buddy relationship with them again or anything. But you've got to make up your mind that I'm going to put that in the past, and I'm going to keep moving forward. God only tells us to go in one direction, forward. The Bible tells us about King Saul and Samuel in the book of 1 Samuel. Samuel is a prophet, you know the story. And when Saul was just a young man, God used Samuel to call Saul out and anoint him as king. And Saul was a bit, he started out good, but then he got rebellious against God and against things that were right, and he started doing things that were wrong. And Samuel the prophet, the old prophet, took him under his wing and started to train him and teach him and confront him when he would do something wrong and point him back to God and keep him on course. And it finally came to a time when there was a battle going on, and Samuel said to him, he said, "Now Saul, he said, you wait until I come and we sacrifice to God before we go into that battle." And maybe you know the story. And the Bible says that Samuel, the prophet, delayed his coming. And Saul was getting restless. Battle was coming on. The Philistines were all gathered around. He didn't know what to do. So he decided he was going to take it in his own hands. And he went out and he took the animal himself and sacrificed the animal himself. And as soon as he had the animal sacrificed, Samuel shows up. And this is where he talks about to obey is better than sacrifice. Obey the word of the Lord, he said. And the Bible said that God spoke to Samuel, the prophet, and said, "Listen, I've rejected Saul as the king of Israel." And Samuel was devastated because he poured everything he had into that young man. Now he's, older now, but from the time when he became king, Samuel poured everything into him that he could. He poured his life into him, training him and teaching him and confronting him and straightening him out and keeping him on focus. And now God says, "I've rejected him because he's rebelled so many times and he's got no desire to serve me." And he said, "I've rejected him as the king." And the Bible says that Samuel, the prophet, was very discouraged. He was disappointed. Disappointed probably in Saul, disappointed probably in God, probably disappointed in himself. He was disappointed. The Bible tells us that God spoke to Saul. He says, "Saul, how long are you going to go on mourning for Saul?" See, there's a lot of times we get disappointed, and God is saying the same thing to us. How long are you going to keep this up? This mourning, this going back and rehashing the past and bringing it up every time somebody says something to you, you're going to bring up something that happened 20 years ago. And you never bring up the good stuff. Your memory is not good at that, but your memory is really good at bringing up the bad stuff. And he said, "How long are you going to keep that up?" And God says to Saul, he said, "Fill your horn with oil." Now, he's the prophet. The oil is what the horn is what we put the oil in for anointing people. And God says, "Move on." He said, "I've got another king already set up." He said, "I want you to go to and anoint him." And what God was saying, what he's telling us all to do, when you get into times like that, when something happened in the past and you're discouraged, you don't know. There's times, I've been there. There's times when you just sit down and say, "Now, where do I go from here? What's next?" Disappointments. And God says, "Listen, it's time to move on." I can remember years ago, and this is probably stupid and you laugh at it now, but I mean, back then it was a big thing to us. First, when we were married, we were living in Toronto. And came from Newfoundland. We never had much. We came up in a little car and came up, and I got a job. I used to make $152 a week. That was gross. So probably about $120 a week cleared, probably. Our apartment was $185 a month. And then you had other bills, and different things you had to pay. And I remember Pat was pregnant with Tanya, our oldest one. And we were living in a basement apartment, in an apartment building, but I mean, a basement apartment was just bare, nothing there. We had no real furniture, just a few things that people gave us and things like this. We had nothing. And And I can remember we sat down and we thought, well, you know, we got to go and get some furniture. We got a baby coming. We need a crib. We need this. We need that. You know, all the different things that you need. And there's people going to come to visit us. And man, we can't bring them in here. We never had no coffee tables. We never had no couch or anything. It was just we're sitting around on the floor and everything else. And what are we going to do? And so I said, well, I got to go to, I think it was Niagara Finance in those days. And I said, I'm going to go down there and see if we get a loan. And I figured out we needed, you know, a couch and blinds or curtains and a piece of carpet for the floor and all. Anyway, it was going to cost a grand total of $1,800. That was to pay off some bills and get some furniture, get a crib, get a, you know, all the different things. Now, $1,800, you look at it today and say, man, that's, you know. Now, I mean, still a lot of money, but you look at it today, well, it's not a big deal. But back then, you're making $150 a week. $1,800 is a lot of money, you know. And I can remember going into the bank, and we were only up here a couple months, I guess, and I had a job, and or to the finance company. And I went in and I said, you know, needed some money and different things. And I mean, back in those days, you wouldn't get the answer right away. They had to send it away, and 4 or 5 days later, they'd call you back and see if you got it or not. So we were, you know, kind of waiting for this money to come in, so we go down to Honest Ed's. Remember that place in downtown Toronto? You know? And we were waiting for money to come in, so we'd go down there and get stuff. And they called back. I mean, we didn't know anybody in Ontario. Didn't know, well, my brother was there. I don't know if he was back in Newfoundland at the time or not. But anyway, we were there. We had nothing. And they came back, and we had our hopes built. At least I did. I had my hopes built upon this. And then the phone rings, and I picks up the phone. And there on the other end, Mr. Lush, he said, sorry, but it's not approved. And man, you talk about being disappointed. You know, because your hopes are built up so much on it. And I just sat down, and I just stared at the floor, and I just walked around, and I thought, like, it totally caught me off guard. I expected that was going to be no problem whatsoever. You haven't been on your job long enough. I was there 2 months, I guess it was. You know. And I was absolutely going around in a daze. You know, like I said, it might not seem like much right now, but back then, I don't know why, but it hit me really, really hard. I was absolutely devastated that here I am, living in strange land, you know, and got a wife here, new wife. We're only married a year and a half, well, almost 2 years, I guess, by the time Tanya was born. And here we were, and I couldn't even look after my own family. I couldn't even get a crib for the baby, you know. And man, I was absolutely discouraged, devastated. And a lot of times we go through times like that when you're disappointed and you don't know which way to turn. Eventually we did get something. I don't know how it all worked out now, but we did get something. We got a crib and different things. And, you know, by the time the baby was born, we were half decent looking. And, you know, but it was a devastating time. And I still remember that even to this day, the discouragement or the disappointment, probably a better word, that came with that feeling that I couldn't even look after my own family, you know. And so there's going to be times when you're going to be disappointed. Sometimes you're going to be disappointed in yourself. You know, being disappointed in life and the problems of life, that's one thing. And being disappointed in somebody else hurting you, that's another thing. But you ever been to a place where you're disappointed in yourself? You know? There are times when you look at your own life and you think, man, you know, and maybe it's just the age I'm at now, I don't know. You think, man, I should be better off than I'm at now, right? You know, I should be farther ahead in life than I am right now. You know, and maybe this is where the midlife crisis comes in, I don't know. And but, you know, you think, man, what do I have to show for the past? I mean, I've been on the planet now for 58 years. You know, I can remember 1 year, again, this is another story of finances and different things. We were in a church in Newfoundland, just a small church, first when we went to ministry. Well, I guess about 5 years after we went to ministry. And I was 30 years old. Again, I went into the bank, wanted to get a car at the time. driving around an old piece of junk, and you're ashamed to take it anywhere. You're not afraid it's not going to start on you next time when somebody, when somebody's around or something. And I remember going into the bank and wanting to get a car. And I went in, and there was one fellow, I knew him, and he knew me, he knew who I was. He was a Christian man as well. And I went in and, told him what I needed at the time for to get a car. And he went down and he treated me like I was a complete stranger, I mean, he knew me as Steve, but he said, "Mr. Lush, you get these fellows that like authority, Mr. Lush," he said, "do you realize that you're 30 years old and you see you've got nothing? You talk about being disappointed. Because in ministry, you never owned a house. You had nothing, no collateral, just your name." And he said, "Mr. Lush," I mean, he knew me as Steve. He said, "do you realize that you're 30 years old and you have nothing?" And I got up and just thanked him and walked out, and I drove home that night, and I thought, man, how do you get ahead in life? We did get a loan from that same bank. I went to the manager and bypassed. But anyway. But there's times when you get disappointed in life. And sometimes you're disappointed in yourself. And you think, what's my life worth? Remember the story, I don't know which one it is now. Remember It's a Wonderful Life, I think it is. When the banker or whatever he said to the guy, "You're worth more dead than you are alive." Is that the same at the movie? And the devil have a heyday with stuff like that. Disappointments. Life is full of them. And as I said, you disappoint yourself. You disappoint yourself financially because you get into a mess sometimes and you think, why did I get in that? Or maybe there's something, some habit that you have and you thought, I ain't going to conquer that. And, you make up your mind, I'm never going to do that again. And you go on for maybe 2-3 weeks and everything's going wonderful. You think, I finally got it all conquered. And then all of a sudden, you have a slip up and you go right back into the same habit again, and you're bound with probably for another 2 or 3 months. You thought, how in the world did I ever get back into that again? When I thought I was free of it. And you get disappointed in yourself. Maybe there's some sin in your life. Some failure. Maybe you've done something in the past that you look back at it now and say, man, I can't believe I ever did something like that. And you look at yourself now and you say, man, I'm worth nothing. You get disappointed in yourself. So it's easy for us to get disappointed in life and get disappointed in other people. But boy, I tell you, when you're disappointed in yourself, that's when it's hard. Disappointed in yourself. And all of a sudden the devil comes in, and you can be sure that he's going to bring on all the guilt that he can bring. Maybe you had a problem with anger and you thought, well, I'm a Christian now, I can't react that way. And you're going along okay for probably 3 or 4 years. And just that last little straw that breaks the camel back. And you go ballistic at somebody, and you shoot off, and you tell them off, and after it's all done, you go, oh man, why or how could I ever go back to that again? But a lot of it is because, like we said earlier, there's a lot of disappointments up through life that we never dealt with, and you just boil and boil, and finally we get to the place that it just snaps. Disappointing ourselves. It's easy to get disappointed. But you know something we need to understand? Instead of looking at ourselves as failures, instead of looking at ourselves as disappointments, instead of looking at ourselves as, all the problems that we see and not worthy and everything else the devil will pour in on you, we need to start looking at ourselves as God sees us. God's got a totally different picture of you than you have. Now, I'm serious. We need to understand this. God sees you perfect in Christ. Now, it's hard for me to understand. It's hard for you to understand. We can't comprehend that. But you know the whole purpose of Jesus coming and dying on the cross? Is so that he could make you perfect in God's sight, so that God could take you to heaven. The Bible tells us that he presents us before the Father, that he wants to present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. That's how God sees us. He sees us holy, unblameable. I can blame many things on you. You can blame many things on me and on each other and on ourselves. But God sees us unblameable and unreprovable. In other words, above reproach in God's sight. Colossians chapter 1. That's how God sees us. Not because of anything we've done. We've done everything opposite. But it's all because of what Jesus did for us. We need to get a new picture of ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. God doesn't count our failures, and neither should we. We need to think bitter thoughts about ourselves. You know, and I've mentioned this one time before, I think. When you have a bitter picture of yourself, when you see yourself as God sees you, when you have a better self-esteem, I mean, even the natural world tell you the same, and the secular world tell you the same. When you get better self-esteem, self-confidence, now I'm not talking being crazy or stuff, but when you got a good, healthy self-esteem, you'll get a good job, you'll live happier, you'll be more successful in life, be more peaceful in life. And see, the devil's work is to make you look in your own eyes worthless. What happened to the children of Israel when they went into the promised land? In our eyes and in theirs, he said, we are only grasshoppers. And the Bible tells over in the book of Hebrews that they could not get into the promised land because they never mixed faith with the message. In our eyes, we look like grasshoppers. We need to start seeing ourselves from God's perspective. We can accomplish things through God. God's got a plan and a purpose. And I know we've gone through this thousands of times. God's got a plan and a purpose and a destiny for every last person. God says, I know the plans that I have toward you. Plans to prosper you and bless you and give you a good future. Not to harm you. And God's got that plan for every one of us. And we need to keep our eyes upon him. So when we start thinking right, we start thinking godly thoughts, we find God's plans and purposes for our lives. Because what we think about is what we end up believing. You get that? Whatever you think about, you're going to start believing. If you're thinking all the time, I'm a failure, I'll never make it in life, and I'll never be able to get a good job, I'll never be able to get, good health, I'll never be able to get a good spouse or whatever. If you start thinking that way, you're going to start believing that way. And what you start believing is how you start living. Now get that. You have to think the right thoughts. The Word of God tells us, he said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, he said, think on these things. Don't be thinking about all the negative things. Don't be thinking about all the bad things that have happened in your past. You know, it's just well for me to give up because I'll never make it. That's a lie from the devil. Jesus said he's a liar from the beginning. We got to get our eyes off that and get our eyes upon Jesus. I was reading some things the week as I was preparing for this. You know, Albert Einstein, they told him they failed his application. They turned down his application for college because he never had enough education to get in. Albert Einstein. You know Colonel Sanders? He was a Christian. Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken. He went bankrupt 5 times trying to start a business. Everybody told him, you'll never do it. But he just made up his mind, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm going to keep pushing ahead. You ever talk of Oprah? You know the first job she got in Baltimore on TV? They fired her because she would never make it. So you can't listen to what other people are saying about you. You've got to believe what God says about you. You got to believe that you can make it. Don't be disappointed in life. Disappointments are going to come. And it's up to us how we react to those disappointments. So we can be disappointed in life. We can be disappointed in others. We can be disappointed in ourselves. But you know, there's another disappointment we don't even want to admit. Sometimes we get disappointed with God. Anybody been there? We got one honest person. Two. I put up my hand, too. Three. There we go. There's times we get disappointed with God. Say, God, you said, and this is how it worked out. And sometimes we see a big disparity between what we see in God's word and what we see in life, in reality. And we wonder, God, do you even care anymore? Remember Jesus? The Bible says he went down to the ship and he went asleep. A storm came up. And disciples woke him up and they said, don't you care? I think there's a lot of us, we might not say the words because we're too religious now. But I guarantee you, in your own heart, you get to the point and say, God, don't you even care anymore? Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care the struggle that I'm facing here? You're just going to stay silent? You're not going to do anything? You're not going to, you know, step in and help me? What did we talk about last week? When the test is on, the teacher is silent. He's just walking around the classroom. God knows you have what it takes. He knows you've got enough word within you. If you just start putting that into practice, you can rise above this. You have the answers. We get disappointed with God. Philip Yancey wrote a book. And that's what he called it. Disappointment with God. He said he went to an isolated place and he just took nothing but the Bible and just read every scripture he could find about how God sees us and how God relates to us. And he said there's times when, you see, and again, we get disappointed when we are not satisfied with the way that things work out. Or things work out differently than what we thought they should have. And we get disappointed. And the conclusion of his book, there's going to be disappointments. There's things we'll never understand. Never understand. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. There are some secret things that I'll never find the answer for until we're on the other side. I was listening to somebody preach the week, and I never heard of him before. Somebody from, I don't even know where he's from, in the States, I guess. But anyway, he was talking with one of his friends. It was another pastor. And he said, this pastor, he said, this is what he said on the tape. He said, he gets people healed as often as I eat meals. That's what he said. He said, I've seen him pray for people. He said people were delivered from things, he said. And he said, God really uses him in ministering to people that are deaf. And he said, he said I've seen him. He said, pray for people that were deaf. And he said, they were healed instantly. He said, what makes it strange? He said, the pastor that's doing the praying has got a deaf son. And he said he's prayed for him and he's done everything he knows to do and he tried, you know, and he said his son is still not healed. And he said, if you go and ask that pastor, how come you can pray for everyone else and they're healed, but your son is not healed? Explain that to me. He said, I'll tell you what he'll tell you. He'll just simply say, I don't know. I don't know. There's times when we don't know. The secret things belong to the Lord. But, he said, the things that are revealed belong to us. It's been revealed that Jesus is our healer, so we can stand on that. It's been revealed that he's our redeemer. We can stand on that. You understand that? But see, I pray for something, you pray for something, or we go through life and we're believing God for something, and you know, we're believing for a certain outcome, and we got our mind set the way that we believe that this should be. And when it doesn't turn out the way that we thought it should, we get disappointed with God and say, God, where are you? Didn't you hear me praying? Is there something in my life, or you're just not in a good mood today, or what happened to you? Now, you might not say it out loud, but inside you're feeling that. And I've learned over the years, sometimes I do say it out loud. I say, Lord, I don't understand this at all. But every time I say that, I go back to that verse, the secret things belong to God. We can still stand on the promises of God. Philip Yancey in his book goes on to explain it this way. He said, even though we might not understand everything that happens, he said, but in the midst of all that, he said, we get a stronger and wiser faith because we learn to depend upon God's love and his mercy and his grace and realize that there's nothing we can do anyway. It's all because of what Jesus did. It's easy to get disappointed in God. Paul said it this way. Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in. He said, I've learned, he said, to have plenty. I've learned to have nothing. He said, I've learned to be naked. I've learned to be cold. He said, you know, I've had food. I've had no food. He said, I've learned to be content wherever I'm at. He says in another place, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's learn to be content, even though we don't understand everything. Let's not allow disappointment to overwhelm us. But remember what King Saul, or Samuel rather, said, or God said to Samuel, I can straighten it for a while, but God said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and move on. Move on. See, when they come up against the Red Sea, I mean, disappointment, you got Pharaoh's army coming behind you, you got the Egyptians all, you know, trying to kill you. God says, move forward. Move forward. When you don't know which way to go, just keep moving forward. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep doing what you're doing and trusting God. You understand that? Somebody said, even if God did give us the answers, we might not understand it anyway. The Bible tells in Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, says the Lord, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So even if God explained it to us, we said, what? Duh. You know, remember Job? Job had all kinds of problems, and he was saying everything about God, and all of a sudden God says, okay, because Job said, he said, I wish he would come right here, he said, and stand before me, and I could talk to him face to face. And God showed up one day and began to speak to Job. He said, Job, he said, who is this? He said, give him all these words of counsel with no understanding. He said, where were you? He said, when I created the heavens and the earth. Don't know. Where were you when I measured out the waters of the oceans in my hand? Don't know. And God went on down the line, you know, to Job. And Job said, okay, that's enough. He said, I've heard before, he said, my ears, but now, he said, I've seen you. And he said, I've said things that I shouldn't have said. There's times when we get so disappointed, we say things that we shouldn't say. It's just instead of keeping our eyes upon Jesus and realize that he loves us, gave his life for us, and he's more desirous to bless us than we are to be blessed. I'll finish with this. We need to change our ways, change our thinking in order to, here's some practical steps to get through disappointment. Number one, connect yourself with the right people. Connect yourself with the right people. Be around people that are going to build you up, not tear you down, not discourage you, not tell you it's your fault, not be always after you. You know, be with people that are going to point you to Jesus. Okay, be with the right people. You might have had negative people in your life and putting all kinds of garbage in you. Get rid of it. Number two, develop a positive mindset. As I said, whatever you take in, that's how you're going to start living. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, guard what comes into your heart. Whatever you consistently watch or listen to, you're going to think about. You know, if you got, let me put it this way. If you got a problem with drugs, and you're hanging around people, that's all they're talking about is the high they had last night, or, you know, you're just going to open up yourself. You know, if you got a problem with pornography and all you're going to do is go on the internet and just look at pornography all the time, you're just feeding yourself and eventually you're going to do something wrong. You understand? You know, if you've got a problem with drinking, don't keep a bottle of beer in the fridge just in case you have a bad day. I guarantee you the devil's going to bring you a bad day. Or keep a pack of cigarettes hid away somewhere so that you have something to fall back on in case there's a rough time. I guarantee you the devil's going to make sure you got rough time. You understand? Whatever you feed yourself, whatever you think about all the time, this is going to come out in your life. So you got to develop a different mindset. Feed your mind with good things, the Bible says. Let go of negative thoughts. Realize that you're created by God for a purpose. Number three, believe in yourself. Don't let the devil convince you that you can't rise above it. You can rise above it. Number four, put your problems in perspective. You know, what I've went through, the struggle that I've gone through, is that going to matter 100 years from now? Is it going to matter 10 years from now? Number five, be grateful. Count your blessings. Number six, take some time to heal. Sometimes, you know, it hurt you so much. And if you say anything now, you're going to blast out at somebody. Just calm down for a while. Get away from everything. Take some time to heal until you get under control. Then come out and start dealing with people again. Number seven, adjust your expectations. Don't put your expectations in a place that you can't see anything else. Now, I understand when you're standing in faith, you've got to keep your focus. But even when you do all you can do, and it doesn't work the way you thought it would, don't throw in the towel. Realize that there are some things that we just never will understand this side of heaven. But God still loves us, got a plan for us.